It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. Do you know that these few weeks are some of my favorite weeks of the entire year, or every 2 or 4 years?
Every 2 or 4 years, or the random third year.
Uh-huh.
3 years ago, we did Tokyo.
And COVID-esque.
You know? And yeah, with an empty stadiums all over the place, and now we're back, live crowds.
Woo!
Paris Olympics.
Oh, we are talking Olympians today. We cannot be the Two Fit Crazies in a Microphone podcast without acknowledging what is happening in the world right now with people that tend to be, they could be even crazier than us sometimes.
They're wild, yeah.
Whoa, whoa.
We could talk about the Olympic Village and some of the wildness that goes on there, I think, at post-performance from a lot
goodness.
Of these people.
Wait, let's start here. Ready?
Yeah.
So everyone, just to get back after, you know, COVID and get things a little bit normal and whatever that may be and get people pumped up, there's nothing better than now having, like, an Olympic mascot by the name of Snoop Dogg.
Is that America's uncle? Right?
Oh, Unky
Snoop.
Oh my gosh.
He's amazing. He's everywhere. It's a lot of fun. You know, it is a little not
like, you think it takes away from the athletes?
No, I think it pisses me off a little bit because of how Snoop was perceived by, you know, we were kids when he came up, right?
Sipping
you know,
on gin
like,
and juice.
Yeah, and like how it was perceived in gangster rap and, you know, people marching on Congress to, you know, put the explicit lyric labels on albums and things like that, right? Was that Tipper Gore? No, who was it? Yeah, it was her. Dirty bitch.
Oh my gosh.
No, so you know, and now it's like, you know, he's just beloved, you know, it's like Snoop is everywhere and Snoop's carrying the torch and he's at the equestrian the other day and he's
with Martha.
Martha Stewart, and he's commentating on like that little like sideways dance trot that these horses
and then
do.
They put it to his music.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you go. But yeah, we could make this all about Snoop and his awesome, awesome performances here. You know, we got a sneak preview of it, right, at the U.S. Olympic Trials track and field where, mm-hmm. you know, my jam that I, you know, I'm glued to nonstop. It's the greatest track meet you'll ever see in the Olympics, and we get the world championships too. But something about the Olympics, I think it's just, you know, just so much better. You know, we saw Snoop was was on the track side for the steeplechase, and he's he's like talking about how you can all do that, and like pushing off of the steeple over the water stop jump, and you know, just awesome stuff. So yeah, hats off to our boy.
Well, there's been a lot of cool things happening. We have to, if we're going to say Snoop though and Martha Stewart, we have to say a couple other people. Number one, let's talk about how some celebrities have stepped up to sponsor some teams and athletes that, first of all, the United States, step up and give some sponsorships to our athletes. There's no reason why the women's water polo team, who's won like a bazillion gold medals, should have to like not have facilities or not be able to afford trainings. Like,
Agreed. No, wholeheartedly. You know, it's We've had Olympians on here before, right? We had mm-hmm. our female Olympic wrestler.
I forget her name.
My gosh, we've had 340 something of these episodes, and I apologize.
So good.
But she said, you know, I was working as a barista in Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, because sponsorship isn't there in her sport, and if it is there, it goes to the men first. And you know, she was a mm-hmm. little bit behind. And she just has to work her way through. And who stepped up, Christine? Who stepped up for them?
I'm sorry. Is it someone with a clock? Oh, look, I even have the Olympic theme song coming on right now.
You're distracting me.
I'm sorry.
Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav.
Like, whoever Woo! In a million years would have thought that Snoop and Flavor Flav would step up to the plate and deliver for our Olympians in 2024? Right?
That's like you're making this shit up.
Right.
We're making
Seriously.
This up. Like,
Seriously.
The like, pandemic.
Like, let those two run for president. Not like, you know,
right?
President
We've
Snoop,
also had presidents
president
where we're
Snoop.
Like, there's no way if you told someone in the past.
Oh, of course. And, you know, and the first hombre would be Flavor Flav to Snoop's presidency. That would, look, that's a ticket I'd vote for. every day just to see what the fuck happened. it's, I mean, really, see Flavor Flav step up to provide support for that. And, you know, look, I root for, you know, my track and field's my jam. And you see even, you know, Nike will sponsor a bunch of athletes and perhaps those athletes would get paid. Obviously, Adidas, Noah Lyles is a, mm-hmm. an Adidas athlete. And, you know, and you got Shakari Richardson and you got Gabby Thomas and like all these like, you know, tremendous athletes. Even, you know, some of the fellas that were, you know, that America probably didn't know about, definitely didn't know about, you know, that won gold in the 1500 men's. You know, Cole Hawker and Jared Nagus, and, you know, one's a Nike guy and the other one's an On Cloud, mm-hmm. you know, On Cloud athlete, which is amazing because it's a new sneaker company and they're doing great things. You know, and you like there's support at maybe at that level where they can train and train professionally and not have to get a job and, you know, or maybe they, you know, have to book a few shows or something like that to kind of make some side money. But, like, shot put, discus, pole vault, you know, some of these like, you know, off to the side things, even like a decathlete, you know, where you got to train, but the financial support in our country isn't great. You know,
which
especially,
is crazy to even say that out loud.
Right. We're talking about even, you know, we're talking about the three that, that made the Olympics from the United States. Mm-hmm. So maybe once they reach that level, you know, they would get the support. But what about the dozens of potential mm-hmm. athlete, you know, potential candidates or, you know, potential Olympians that still have to do all the work, still have to train, still have to make sure that they're ready and, you know, eat, pay the bills, support themselves and stuff. So look, the Olympics as an, you know, used to be amateur athletics, mm-hmm. right? It's a grind. It's a grind for so many, which, you know, just, makes you really appreciate, I think, you know, like what these guys go through. I know professional runners. I know them. It's not an easy career choice because
you can't work a 9-to-5. Like you can't do the normal things when you're in training blocks. It's just not possible to do everything.
Not if you want the good stuff. You almost have to survive or, you know, you have to starve in order to get through it, you know, literally or figuratively. You know, I don't think they're literally starving, mm-hmm. but, you know, figuratively, you kind of, you know, you got to really, really, really make some sacrifices.
All right, so shout out to all the people that stepped up is what we want to say. Shout out to everyone. And I think, I don't know about you, but I think in the future, we're going to see more people step up individually, like, or step up and sponsor individual athletes. That's what I think is going. I see that now. As in the future. And I think that's awesome.
I have a good friend of mine, Dave Hyatt, who I work with. He's an assistant coach of mine in the high school team. And he's got an awesome podcast. Check it out, everybody. Talking in Ovals. It's a great...
get it? Ovals?
Yeah,
like
right?
Running?
You could say talking in circles, but they don't talk in circles. They talk in ovals, mm-hmm. right? And they have a great podcast where they did a feature for, like, I think 8 weeks of these Olympic hopefuls. You know, people that are dedicating their lives to making this team. Now, I don't think many of them did, or I don't think any of them did, but they talked about, you know, what it's like, what they have to do. You know, can they even afford to go compete internationally, which is where you're kind of more well seen and maybe some of the better competition is? Or do you have to stay home, train? Who pays for coaching? How does it work? A lot of them are still working with like their old college coaches and things like that. So Talking in Ovals is a very popular podcast. They've had professional runners on and even hacks like me. Go check it out. But they... said, we'll accept advertising, right? They're mm-hmm. podcasts and they take just like we do. They have advertisers and they're, you know, and they're, presented with offers to advertise, you know, from advertisers and things like that. And they said, we'll only take advertising from people that are going to sponsor some of those athletes that are on our show. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like really cool. I love it. I was like, that's pretty, you know, it's honorable. Like they're not just going to take the money. They're there to promote everybody, not just their show to make a little dough off of it. So really, really good on them for doing that. But they've had the pole vaulters on. They've had the throwers. They've had the, you know, female discus thrower, which is, you know, very overlooked aspect. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what does it take to get to where they want to go? Like everything. Their whole life. They put their lives aside to make this one team. And, you know, so... Look, it's not easy. It's not that life of a professional. And now Like, let's talk about archery. Let's talk about, you know, equestrian. Let's talk about...
Ping pong has been no joke. We're going to go through some of these in a little bit.
Ping pong. I don't know. It'll always be synchronized swimming to me. I'm sorry. Artistic swimming. I'm just not buying it. Apparently in 16,
those
they made the change.
Girls are amazing.
They're amazing. But to change the name of the sport on us, right? They're not doing that. It's synchronized swimming, damn it. And I'm not going to take it any other way.
Well, floor on gymnastics is now like artistic expression or something.
Right? I don't know. They want to make it more appealing to the masses, but nothing's more appealing than synchronized swimming. Right?
I have to give a shout out to my friend Raymond Braun, okay, who is over in Paris as a correspondent for the Athletes for the United States. Because we're just talking about how tough it is for an athlete to devote their whole life to have like a 30-second window, right? That defines who they are, right? It's ridiculous. And I think it's really important. He actually is an advocate for mental health, and that's what he has made his life mission. And he is over an Olympic Village. He got to interview Snoop. He was on the red carpet. If you take a look at his, you could look at my Instagram page, and you could find him on there. But he is amazing and asked all the tough questions. He asked, actually, my favorite was like, what's his face? Jeremy from The Bear.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Like, you name it. He was talking to them and asked them about what, you know, as a celebrity, how do you handle pressure and stress? And what would you, you know, tell the Olympians and as advice. And I thought it was such a cool thing because we know that, you know, this one of the other focuses aside from Snoop being our mascot, right, is that there's a huge focus on mental health in this Olympics where, you know, especially after what happened with Simone Biles in Tokyo, that was like, you know, and hearing some of her interviews of like, one of the things she said, I don't know if you all saw this, she did one interview where it was like, they asked her what was the low point, like what did you think when this was happening, and she's like, all I kept thinking is like, what is everyone on like the internet saying or slamming, and it was like, this is the time in which we live that people that is another pressure, and we don't think of all the different mental health issues that may not have even existed before, like enough that you've the pressure of, you know, getting hurt, performing right, all the things. But now it's like this other is my reputation.
Totally.
Am I losing all of my Instagram followers because I whatever? And then are my sponsorships going to go away? And then like these are real things that they think about.
Yeah, you know, and how you react. And, you know, is that good optics, bad optics? I mean, look, it used to be that, you know, some grouchy old guy would grab the newspaper in the morning and read a story about it and then, you know, have an opinion on it. And then he would, you know, maybe voice his opinion over his morning coffee to whoever was in the, you know, at the house that day. And that was
it. Hey, Charlie, did you read this article?
Like, you know, he'd bitch to his wife about what, you know.
Lorraine.
Yeah. But now it's like that guy doesn't just talk across the table or even scream out his window. You know, he's online and those people, you know, men, women, everybody, it's not just a grouchy man, but, you know, have an opinion and a voice and like it just blows up, you know, and you see a kid like Simone Biles, like melting down, like live
in front of us,
like live in
Tokyo.
Like,
oh God,
you know, and like, you know, she's also the, you know, I think it's pretty awesome how she handled it. I think, you know, 3 years ago, because she is the greatest ever. And it is almost like a relief to see, you don't ever want to see it to happen to everybody, but, you know, to know that it can happen to a person of her talent and a person who's, you know, obviously familiar with press and all these things. You know, you've seen it in some other sports with the tennis and you know, you kind of.
Why do you think drugs and alcohol are so prevalent?
Because
people can't handle the pressure of.
It is intense.
You know?
It is intense. And you need, you know, everybody's, you know, is subject to it. And everybody can go through these things. And it's just really, you know, and look, has she rebounded or what?
Woo!
Is she the fucking greatest?
What's she, like everyone else comes out, like especially on the floor, And I know she didn't win gold and everything, but like she, you know, everyone else does their routines. You're like, oh my God, they're amazing. And then Simone comes out and you're like, you just like drop the mic and you're like, yep, everyone else was good. But like, what the fuck was that?
Like I was watching.
Like, it's ridiculous.
I was watching, right? I mean, look, do I watch gymnastics hardly ever? My wife was a gymnast like at a young age. So she's always like, turn on the gymnastics. And we do maybe watch the trials and things like that, mm-hmm. like leading up. A little like 3 years ago, I had a girl who was a gymnast who was living in town, who was high end Olympic hopeful, mm-hmm. and was even in like world championships, yeah. and stuff like that. And she just never made an Olympic team because of, you know, she was like, that year hurt her.
Yeah.
Right? The year of COVID and all that stuff. It really hurt her. 2020 would have been her year. By 21, she was not, you know, it didn't work out for her. So like, you know, I have like a really kind of, you know, just a arm's length, you know, interest in gymnastics. But when Simone Biles is on the screen, right, and any of our women, you know, the other story was awesome too about the, you know,
Suni Lee. Oh my, yeah. God, I didn't know that about, yeah, her. I mean, like,
but Biles is on, it's like, it's must see. Like, you stop what you're doing, you watch what the heck's going on, and it's like her turn, and maybe like when they get back to some of the other girls in the other country, like I walk away and do some things. But when she's on, it's on. And I watched in the all around that floor routine, and it was like,
mother of God, that was ridiculous.
You just smile. It's like, like, what an amazing talent. And to know that, like, all this stuff has to happen right then, right there, and she's got to nail that routine. Like, how do you bet against her? Like, she's just that freaking good that she can be extraordinary on cue, like, when needed. You know, I don't know. Like,
I thought one interview I heard was, you know, they had said that it's really awesome that it seems like, not just them, and we spoke about this before, that the athletes are really, they seem to be really cheering for one another. Like, there's no, I haven't, maybe the camera's not showing us, I don't know, but I mean, we've definitely seen in the past athletes like just cursing or like hysterical or nasty, you know, just kind, yeah. of at themselves. And now it's like, well, you know what, I did the best I could, or, you know, and they congratulate the other person. And you see that a lot with, they were asking Simone, like, it just seems like y'all are happier. And she's like, well, it took me, and I think this is like a life lesson, right? It takes you to get knocked down to realize how special this time is in your life, in the moment. And she was like, we're just going to enjoy this because there's nothing else that we could do. We've prepped. We're ready. If the routine, if we nail it, we nail it. And if it wasn't meant to be, like, you know, a bunch of them fell off the balance beam. I remember watching that. They repeated, by the way, Suni Lee, poor Suni Lee. She, yeah. fell off the balance beam.
Yeah.
And they replayed it, yeah. from every angle.
Yeah.
And I almost died. I'm like,
well,
oh my,
that's
gosh.
What I'm saying. Like,
this is not okay. Like, I don't want to see it from up, down, and like, you know, her straddling the beam. I'm like, oh my God, please don't show it again.
Yeah. But, you know, again, just makes it all like they know that. And pan back, you know, go back 3 years ago where all these things with, you know, she's getting the what do they call it? The wobbles or the twisties. And, you know, she's getting the twisties in real life, you know, and watching them and in all angles, like it's all covered. You know, so it's just really good. And look, she's the best of the best of the best. The swimming was freaking amazing. I got into the French guy, Marchand. He, yeah. was like into it. The crowds were amazing for him. Uh-huh. You know, obviously we want the U.S. guys to win. But when you see, and it's also like that interesting twist because he's an Arizona State guy who was, you know, trained by Michael Phelps. Mm-hmm. You know, he reached out to the coach there and said, you know, hey, I'm going to come to your university because I know that Michael Phelps trains near you. And like, I'm coming your way. And, you know, it all, like, they read the letter that, you know, the email or the letter that he had written to that coach. Like, you know, I watched the features are awesome,
yeah.
too. And so that was really cool. You know, the French crowds were way into it. You know, the crowds have been awesome. The track and field, like coming off of 3 years ago where it was an empty stadium and you can actually hear their feet hitting the ground during the runs. Like you can't, like, it just wasn't exciting, as exciting. And these, you know, the stadium's beautiful. The track is super freaking fast. Like, watching all this stuff happen, that's a common theme with the track. This has been the best track meet that I've ever seen in my life. And look, my love for the Olympics goes back to really 1984, right? I was 9 years old. I was like, I mean, that was like everything to me. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, you can watch it. It was in L.A. It was America. You know, we had the, you know, woman won the, Joan Benoit won the marathon. And, you know, we had Carl Lewis and, you know, Edwin Moses and Valerie Briscoe Hooks. That was my love of track and field, like, happened then. Like, mm-hmm. then 9 years old, like, I'm hooked, I'm in, that's it, that's, like, awesome. Same thing, the volleyball was massive at that time. These really amateur sports, mm-hmm. right, which we'll get into the golf and the tennis and even the basketball in a second, because I can't get into it at all. you know, that basketball team had Michael Jordan, had uh-huh. Patrick Ewing on it in 1984. You know, it had Sam Perkins and, like, some of these dudes that were, you know, great collegiate players that were, you know, were winning gold. You know, it was pre-dream team and pre-pro players, really. So, like, that was, like, that to me was, like, the Olympics. Like, mm-hmm. it was the coolest freaking thing ever. And it was pride and country. And
my parents went to Lake Placid in 1980,
yeah,
which I didn't realize. So they were up there. Like, I grew up in an Olympic family. And yeah. then, you know, many of you know that I actually went to the Olympics when it was in Atlanta in 1996.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I left the day before they, like, remember there was, like, a bombing
yeah.
there? Yeah. I left. Yeah. I was there the day before that happened in that area in Olympic Village. But it was so cool. Like, just to experience, like, to go into Olympic Village and to go see the Olympians and to, you know, how exciting that was something I will never forget. And I know it's coming to L.A. Like, we're
next
going.
Year, yeah.
We're going to the next one in L.A.
Okay.
We're going to go.
All right,
and then you know. Salt Lake City in the winter. Like, it's yeah. already on my list.
They really said that L.A. better buckle up because Paris has done such a great job hosting these
LA
Olympics.
L.A. needs to clean up a little bit.
And Paris does a great job hosting the Olympics because you don't have to stay in Paris, right? You can go right now to Europe and you can stay, like, you know, it's a 2-hour
train. Stay in London.
You can stay in London.
I just did it.
It's a 2.5-hour yeah. train ride or whatever.
As long as the trains are working, yes.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and like, you can be in Paris, you know, you can leave and be there for the day and then get back on the train and yeah. leave, you know, pretty easily. Whereas L.A., like, I don't know. I don't know if it's really going to work.
LAX, you better buckle up.
Or just, like, the freeway system there. Like, it's bad on a normal day. You know, how are people going to get around? But I guess that's
They'll do it.
That's their problem. They'll figure it out. They'll figure
so
it out.
It's so spread out, too. It's not like everything is right downtown. It's, like, all over the place.
Yeah. So, I'll get into track and field in a second. But the golf,
I haven't watched it.
Well, the American won, but, you know, he's the guy who's also wins the Masters. He's the best golfer in the world.
I missed it.
What the heck is his name? The guy that got ripped out of his car at the Masters because he was... That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And it's just not... It's just another golf tournament, right? Like, it's not every 4 years. It's on my TV every weekend, right? You know, maybe... And, like, I think of some of those things where they don't necessarily have the... country versus country type of events. I guess in golf they do with the Ryder Cup, but they, was it Scheffler, Scotty Scheffler, whatever. You know, I just can't see it. He said it was the biggest victory of his life. And I'm like, dude, you just won the Masters. Like, no, it's not. Right? Like, if you ask an NBA player if winning a gold versus an NBA championship, they're going to take the NBA championship, right?
It's also a gold medal. I mean, it depends on how
playing
you
for your
view.
Country. I get it. Same thing with the tennis, right? You got Djokovic and Alcaraz playing each other in the tennis. It's like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of saw this like 3 or 4 times already this year. You know, it's not like that crescendo of peaking every 4 years.
Never play. That's the thing. If you see people play already, then I think it takes the, you know, it takes the wind out of the sails and the excitement. Whereas, like, you know, you're not always seeing some of these other athletes, you know, like, again, or you're not seeing it televised or whatnot.
Like, I watched the shit out of track and field, right? And every 2 years there's a world championships. Every mm-hmm. 2 years there's, or four, you know, every 4 years there's a Olympics. And, like, you know, they're it's all the time. They even have indoor and outdoor. And, like, you're kind of there. But nothing like the build for the Olympics, right? Like, the build is for the Olympics. And, like, even, like, I really feel like the amateur sports, like the Olympics that I grew up with, didn't mm-hmm. have golf, didn't have tennis, didn't have surfing, breakdancing. Right,
the breakdancing starts, I think, tonight.
I don't even know. Like, I think that's pretty cool. Like, you give kids opportunity, you know, give people an opportunity to do some of that stuff. Like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But, like, you know, the core Olympic stuff, which to me is the swimming, the gymnastics, the track and field, the volleyball, the you know, like the diving and some of those things.
You don't normally see diving on television,
right?
And it's still so amazing.
So in that sport, to them, that's the biggest thing in the world, right? Like, even like the velodrome cycling stuff that they do, that stuff exists.
There's no a WDA, like a women's diving association of that. Like, is,
I mean,
pro.
even like, to a certain extent, I have to ask Christy Rampone, because you know, about her experience with soccer. Like, was it as big as the World Cup? Right? She won two gold medals. Right?
Girlfriend needs to get on these
airwaves.
I know,
she does. I don't want to bother.
I know.
I don't want to bother.
Oh, please.
Well, you know. But, you know, like, and she's also won two World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Or three World Cups. I think it's three and two. I think she won three World Cups and two gold medals.
That's
something
it?
Like that. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, she's like the most decorated women athlete in the history of our country. But, you know, like, does it mean as much? Does it hold up? You know, like, Noah Lyles called out the NBA, right? The great 100 meter sprint champion, Noah Lyles, like, who's like,
he's
sure of himself, right? he, you know, he really is confident in his abilities. And he'll tell you all about it. But, he called out the NBA. He says, you know, like, when he was world champion last year, track and field world championships, he says, I'm the champion of the world. Like, and it's a joke when the NBA players call themselves world champions when all they won was the NBA title, right? Mm. Like, you're not playing the world. You're playing, like, this league. Like, you're that league's champion.
It's national, yeah.
And he's like, I'm the best in the world. Like, call me anything different. You won't be accurate. Like, I just beat the whole world, right? Like, and that's, so he's kind of like,
own it.
And look, maybe the NBA is the best league in the world, so therefore any team that wins that would be the world champion.
That makes
sense. Like, you know, so like, I think he's got a point, you know what I mean? Like, some of these sports where it is the pinnacle of the actual sport, you know, I think that it just matters so much. And when you see, like, the upsets, or you see,
what was the coolest thing you've seen so far?
Cole Hawker winning the 1500.
Yeah.
With his freaking kick, and he got held. He got brake checked on the final 100, and he was able to get back on it and win. And the favorite, Jakob Ingebrigtsen from Norway, like, who
he's
I love.
Cute. He's cute.
I love him. Like, he's a bad, bad motherfucker, like, when it comes to running miles.
Oh, did everyone see the back history of his, like, coaching and the dad,
father,
and the like, I'm like, whoa, okay, woo.
And you know, and his rivalry with Josh Kerr, the Brit, who, like, they really don't like each other. Like, they've been talking back and forth in press conferences, and they're talking back and forth on the
uh-huh.
And in, you know, each one, like, Ingebrigtsen won in Tokyo, and then Kerr won at the World Championships, and, like, they have, like, this thing back and forth.
And then neither of them won.
Right? And then, like, you know, and then the Americans put their three into the finals, which that, like, on any given year, it's like, all right, you know, this is awesome. Like, what an accomplishment that in itself. And then to go 1-3-5 and have Ingebrigtsen finish out of the money, you know, off the podium in fourth, and have Hawker, you know, who, like, is a kid. Like,
I don't even know him. Like, he came out of, like, I'm like, who is this?
So, what? No, like to you, like, you're watching, it's awesome. You can have pride. Like, I remember him in high school, right? Like, he was a high schooler. He went to University of Oregon. He was a kick-ass miler. Mm. They had a whole team of them, and he's known for his kick. And as long as he's within the, you know, in that race, he's got a shot, and, like, that's his deal. And for him to run 3:27 and set an Olympic record and win it
ridiculous.
Down the stretch on the inside, like, you know, like, he said, I saw daylight and was just, like, going for it. And then they talked to him in the interview, and they're like, now you're an Olympic champion and Olympic record holder, and he's like, I haven't even, like,
processed it,
any of this. He's like, I can't right now. I don't know. Like, there's, like, minutes after the race. You know, so you get guys like that who aren't Sydney McLaughlin, right?
Right, right.
Sydney McLaughlin Rivoni, who we also know here from New Jersey. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, she is a bona fide star. Like, she is, I mean, she's going to have to fall down in order not to win, I think. Femke Bol from the Netherlands is very good. Oh. But like, you know, we've got these stars. Like, you know, like Sydney, they put the graphic on the other day where they showed her where she would be against the 2021 Olympic 400 meter finals, open finals, so no hurdles. Mm-hmm. And they show her where she would be with the hurdles. So her world record time.
Oh, I did
time,
see that.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, she would have come in seventh running over hurdles when everybody else was not running over hurdles. Like, that's how good she is. She's incredibly special, and she's just as good as anybody has. I mean, she's the best that there's ever been. So you kind of get some of these other guys. And then to have Yared Nuguse come in third, and to have Hobbs Kessler come in fifth and go 1-3-5 in the freaking Olympics in the 1500, it's incredible. Now, a couple of them were coming back. Hobbs Kessler comes back for the 800 meters. He was advanced in the prelims as of this recording. Ingebrigtsen, Grant Fisher, who was third in the 10K, which set it all off. That was the first night, the 10,000 meters on the track. Grant Fisher was third, took a bronze, almost, you know, was very close to being second. He comes back now, and he's in the 5K. So some of these dudes will go up from the mile to the 5, you know, the 5K, 5,000 meters as it is on the track. And then others will go down to, like, the 800. So, like, got more chances. We got Noah Lyles again in the 200, mm-hmm. right? That's his thing. He's as good as it gets in that, too. Not clearly as much of a slam dunk as Sydney should be in the 400-meter hurdles. But, you know, we could actually go, the U.S. can actually go, like, 1-2, 1-2-3 in the 200 meters, which would be amazing.
And also, we talked about how a lot of the track and field people are also attractive.
Gabby Thomas is the
this.
Our gold medal girl is also a Harvard grad, and she's beautiful.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
What the heck is that?
I'm like, this isn't fair. Like, who, you know. Anyway, that's, you know, just had to bring it back down to, you yeah. know, to superficial things, but. No, they're just amazing all the way around. So good. So
like
good.
Another amazing performance, Mondo Duplantis, the Swedish American born, mm-hmm. born and raised in Louisiana. His mother's Swedish, set the world record in the pole vault.
That was amazing.
20
too.
Feet, 6 inches.
He was like, yeah, I'm just going to keep going.
He's amazing. He went to LSU.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. Him and Sha'Carri Richardson were freshmen together at LSU on the track team.
Imagine.
Like, freaking cool. And Duplantis' brother played baseball for LSU. Like, they're an American family. It's kind of weird. Like, we kind of wish you had them, but you get it. Sweden's cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That made up for the other dude who missed out on the Olympics or on the medal rounds in the pole vault because he hit the bar with his dick. Did you see that?
No.
No, it's like,
I totally didn't see that.
My God, Conti, wait.
Oh my God.
All right, hold on. Young Jamie, pull it up.
Oh my God. Is it better than the repeats of Suni Lee straddling the beam over and over again? Oh my God. Did he get hurt? Is he hurt?
Wait till you see this.
So I'm worried about. Oh my God. We've just gone pole vault
ding dong
is what just came up. Oh my gosh. We just took 1,000 steps back in the validity of our podcast right now. But French.
We're going to get Conti's live reaction on the air from this one.
Oh my gosh. All right. So let's see. Let's see what's happening. All right. Oh, there's a video. Anyhow. This is
Uncle Brian's too cheap to pay for the YouTube without the commercials.
This is seriously happening. All right. Is there a slow-mo? Is it slow-mo? Oh God, is it in still frame?
So the man's wearing his little, you know, his tights.
He looks good. Looks good.
All right, that's from the front angle.
Okay.
Or the back angle.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. It's like the whole thing. It's the whole, like, package hit
look,
it.
Look.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, no.
Dude, this is what you call.
Oh,
this is
no.
what you call a win-win.
Oh, gosh.
You have nothing to be ashamed of, my man.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's no, that's not okay. Because I don't. Why is it? Oh, my God. I have to pee my pants. Pole vaulter hits bar. Ding dong. That's the way it's supposed to be said. Ding dong. I want to. Okay, my stomach hurts from laughing now. This is a problem. All right. And I think that that is going to be the end of our podcast for today. Oh, my gosh. We'll put this in the show notes. This is so not okay. Now I'm crying. Oh, Anthony, I'm so sorry. Bro, it was a jaw-dropping moment.
Look, it ain't easy, bro.
Oh, my God.
It ain't easy, right? When you... It's unfortunate, is it? Right? This dude's going to walk away, the star of all stars.
He's going to have...
It's going to be like Snoop and this dude.
Porn opportunities.
He missed out on the medal round because he hit the bar with his dick.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that wraps up our Olympic show recap, everyone. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Seriously.
Let's take us home.
We will get back to more.
Let's not feel bad for this guy.
We're not going to feel bad for him in any way, shape, or form. Please reach out to him. We'll put up his number and his
sure, he's doing okay.
Email. Oh, my God. All right. We're out of here. We're out of here because we can't even. We can't anymore. It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian.
And we're Two Fit Crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.